So today's parable is probably very, very familiar to so many of us. And I love that little illustration. It kind of changes it from Jerusalem area to Africa with a little bit of a thing there. But a good reminder this morning, I think. As this week, as I was studying on this parable, I was just constantly reminded of, it seems so simple. It's a Sunday school story. It seems like we should know it. And yet, I was amazed at how when Jesus teaches, he uses parables, he uses stories, because those are the things that stick in our head. And it doesn't matter what age we are. Even as an adult, stories remind me, like I remember them in my head. Whereas if you talk to me for an hour about facts, I don't remember facts, but I remember stories. And Jesus knows that about us. And that's what I love about his teaching. Our parable this morning is found in Luke chapter 6. It's also found in Matthew, but we're going to look at the Luke version of this. And it finishes the Sermon on the Plain. Now, that might have made you go, Jen, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Well, in Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. And there's a lot of speculation. Is this the same sermon? Is it just, you know, we've got these four gospel accounts that are ultimately just different viewpoints of what happened in Jesus' life. So they're different versions, although of the same events. And so there is a lot of speculation. The Sermon on the Plain is the same as the Sermon on the Mount. It was just Luke was in a different position than Matthew to be able to record it. But the biggest speculation is that it is actually a similar sermon given in a different location. And so in Luke chapter 6, we read this. When they had come down from the mountain, and the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds, there were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and as far north from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed by him of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. This is fairly early on in Jesus' ministry, and word travels fast. Good news travels incredibly fast. This is an age before cell phones. This is an age before you could text somebody and get the message out immediately. This is before we could find out what was happening on the other side of the world in an instant. But good news still traveled fast, and so the crowds were flocking to Jesus. And on this plain, Jesus speaks to them. People from all over. He starts very similarly to the Sermon on the Mount with some beatitudes. Blessed are you, if this is your case. Then follows with some woes. Sorrow will become you, if this is how you live. Love your enemies. Be careful not to judge. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Last week, Johnny looked at good fruit, bad fruit. And today, our parable finishes this sermon. And it's found in Luke chapter 6. Starting at verse 46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins. Who here likes to follow instructions? A couple of honest people put their hands up. So when you go to IKEA and you get your flat pack furniture, who actually looks at the book? Okay, good, good, good. Lego. Who gets a Lego kit and looks at every single page's direction to build that Lego kit? Yeah, yeah, okay. Instructions are pretty good. They're very important things. My grandpa used to get a new computer program, and this was like going back a few years, although he probably still does this now, and he would read the entire book that would come with it that's like that thick before he even installed it on his computer. He had to know everything that was coming, so he had all expectations of what to see when he installed that disk on his computer and whatever the program or software was that he was installing. Instructions are very helpful for building, for life, really, you know, things that we know, it's very helpful if we know the order to do things in, the correct order to do things in. You don't have to go back and do it again. This sermon here that Jesus is giving to all of these people are our instructions on what it is to live in the kingdom of God, what it is to be a part of his community, his kingdom, his family. All of these people have come out to hear him, to be healed by him. And Jesus preaches to them instructions for life. It's kind of like a, this is what you are signing up for if you believe in me, type list of instructions. Blessed are you if it doesn't look like you're living as the world should say. You know, blessed are the poor, that doesn't make sense. Blessed are the hungry now, for they'll be satisfied. Blessed are those who weep now. It's kind of backwards of what it should be. Sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your happiness now. Sorrow awaits you who are prosperous now, because you have a time of hunger coming. And all of these rules that kind of just shake up what society says is correct or what it should be. And our parable comes at the end of all of this, these instructions. I recently, I think it was just this week, it might have been last week, some of those things that travel around Facebook that kind of attach your attention and you kind of go, well, that was a wasted hour of my life when you finish with them. But one of them was, you know, this list of rules. And I know I've been caught by this in school before too. Rule number one, read every rule to the end before you begin. Rule number two, do something absolutely ridiculous. You do it. Rule number three, do something else absolutely ridiculous. You get to the bottom. Rule number five, don't do any of the top three and just go to the end. Right? You feel like an absolute idiot, but there you are, like sticking your tongue out, trying to touch your nose or whatever it's asked you to do because you didn't follow the first instruction. I'm impatient. I never follow all the way through I could never, like my granddad, read an entire book before I even put the disc in. There's some intuitiveness that comes with that, but you just kind of, you just want to get it done. Just get it finished. So Jesus is telling us all these things of what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, but he's not doing it to make us look foolish, and yet he begins our parable to this morning by saying, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do as I say? And I kind of found that the same as that list of rules. Read to the end. This is how your life should look. So why aren't you living like it? Why are you calling me Lord? And this entire life that I've been showing you, this entire rule book, this entire just way of living, you're completely ignoring. Why do you call me Lord? You're not even taking it in. You're not listening. You're not hearing. You're not taking it to heart. You're still doing whatever you want to do. So stop calling me Lord. This is what happens when you do that. It's this man who sees these instructions and follows them. Build his house on a foundation. Says, man, somebody knows what they're talking about here. Somebody knows that there's significance where this river's going, to not build by the river, but to build on the rock. And I'm going to heed those instructions because maybe the person who gave them to us knows what they're talking about. Maybe they've experienced something in the past that says that this river can be dangerous. So I'm going to build here versus the person who comes along and goes, eh. Imagine you were gifted the most coveted Lego set that was out there. For Johnny and I, it is the Cinderella Castle with the Disneyland train that goes around it. That's two sets. But those sets. No, it's the Disneyland Castle. Make it put. It's the Disneyland Castle. We love Disneyland. Right, and so to get this, we go into the Lego store and we see it and we just go, oh, that'd be so cool. But yeah, no. But somebody gifted it to us. Listening to Jesus' words, being gifted with the grace that is him, the grace of salvation that comes through him, would be gifting us the Lego castle for us to then turn to the box and go, who needs the instructions? We can do it by ourselves. And open up all of the little packages, throw them in a big mound, and just get going on it. I think we would go insane and crazy, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces that have to be put together to make that castle look like a castle, to make that railroad look like a railroad that actually moves. It moves, people. Lego is amazing, but it goes around. But in order to do that, we'd be so daft to throw out the instruction manual. Who's going to waste that? And this is what Jesus is saying to us. I'm showing you how to live. I'm showing you what it's like to be a part of the kingdom of God. Don't throw out it. Don't throw it out, even in better English. Why do you call me Lord and don't do as I say? Why are we building our foundations on things that are not firm, things that are not steady, things that can crumble and crack and break? Because when life comes, and it will come, our foundations are going to be rocked. And Jesus tells us here that the only firm foundation is in Him. The only way to build our life is in Him. The only thing that will not crumble and fall is Him. Everything else will disappear. But Jesus stays. He is our rock. He should be our only foundation. I imagine that some of the crowd who had come to him, I don't think he preached 20-minute sermons, even though it's short, what's recorded here. I'm pretty sure there was probably a bit more into that. And some of the crowd were probably hanging on to every word of like, oh, we've made this journey out. We want to hear everything that Jesus has to say. Can you believe what he's saying? Oh my goodness, listen to all of this stuff that he's giving us. It's so good. But others of it, let's face it, sometimes our attention kind of starts to drift. And we start to kind of doze. The sun might be beating down on us, and we kind of had a long night, and you kind of start to catch yourself kind of doing this. I've done it. If you're doing it now, that's okay. I get you. It happens. But imagine just kind of coming back to reality with that statement. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Not about you, but I think I kind of would bristle in my seat and go, he's serious here. He's not messing around. What Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God is for real. It's not pretend. It's not some like fairy tale that is idyllic in some other world. This is the here and now. Jesus has ushered this in. We can live in the kingdom of God here and now, and all I have to do is actually build my foundation, build my life on his words. Well, I can do that. I want to do that. Why would I? I don't want my house to fall down. I don't want my life to just crumble in pieces around me. I want that foundation, that solid footing. This week, I know I've mentioned her before, but this week's been a tough week for some friends of ours. Their little girl's suffering from cancer. Their world is crumbling. If you were at family camp, you were praying for 75. We were praying. We we gathered around her. We laid hands on her. We anointed her. We prayed in earnest that God would bring healing to her body. And yet what's happening in her body is that tumors are spreading. The treatment's not working. She's losing weight. She's just getting sicker and sicker. And yet I watch my friend's Facebook feed, and I watch their feed to the world around them, and they have got followers the world over. And when their world is crumbling around them, tears in her eyes, she can still say that God is good. When you don't know the outcome that your daughter's life is going to end or survive this cancer, to still be able to say that God is good and he has got us in this. That's the foundation that Jesus is talking about. When we build our foundation in him, it does not matter what the world throws at us. We can stand firm and say, God is good. And he's got us. He's in this. I don't know why he's not answering prayers the way that we want them to be answered. I don't know why healing has not come to Evelyn's body. I don't know why it's just getting worse and worse. When we look at the news and just go, God, how can it get any worse? When the world is just crumbling around us, we can stand firm and say, God is still good. But we have to build our foundations in him. Because if we're building our foundations in anything else, when the world throws it at us, we're going to crumble. We're going to fall. We can't stand up against it. But in Christ we can. Because he is our firm foundation. He is our everything. You know, maybe this morning you go, yeah, I love Jesus. Maybe you're like some of these people who came here. I'm following him. Look at the miracles that he's doing. There is great stuff coming out of his mouth. But you know what? What he's asking me to do is a little bit too radical. It's a little bit too difficult. I'm not really a bad person. So I'm just going to live my life the way that I'm going to live it. I'm going to like what he has to say because he's saying some good stuff. But I'm going to let him say it, and I'm going to follow him, but I'm still going to live my own life. Whatever your excuse might be for that, today is the day to say, no, my foundation is in Christ alone. No matter what God is asking me to do, no matter how radical it might seem, I have got to wholly lean on his name because he is the only one who's going to carry me through when tragedy strikes. When life gets so difficult, even when there's rejoicing, how much greater is our rejoicing when we're in him? You can't hide where your foundation truly is, because life is going to hit all of us. If it hasn't already, it will. And Jesus is asking us this morning, where's your foundation? Are you that wise builder? Are you the one who has stuck with me, who has put their hope in me alone, who has built their roots and their foundation into me, into my word, into my truth, into my grace, and just sufficient life for you? Or are you one who kind of dips your toe in and out? Oh, Jesus says great things. It's nice to be a part of a community. But I can do it on my own. There's no better way to do it than with Jesus. There's no other way that's going to sustain you but Jesus. I often look at tragedies when they strike people. And you know what's amazing to me? Is that within our community, not our community here, but our wider community. When tragedy strikes, do you know where people run? To the church. They run here. They know who we are. They stop us in the schoolyard and break down in tears and go, my life is falling apart. I need God. The amount of times that that's happened, when tragedy strikes, people call out. There's an inbuilt dwelling within us to know that there's something bigger. And they come to the church. They come to pastors. They come because they know that there's something bigger that can help them through this, but they don't know what it is. But when we are living our lives with our foundations in Christ, when your neighbor's lives come and tragedy strikes, do you know who they're going to run to? You. Because there's something about you when tragedy struck your life, when life happened to you that you didn't crumble and fall. You cried. You wept. You asked. You wondered. But there's something about those who take Jesus' words to heart and build their foundations in him that have a steadfastness that the world needs. That the world needs to know that God is God, that God is good, that God is still on his throne. Satan does not have the final word because Christ has conquered the grave. Like I said, my friend Heather has been such an inspiration through this whole journey that they're going through. And if you think about her this week, pray for Evelyn. If you can donate blood, donate it. She's had 4 blood transfusions this week. She's been now diagnosed with influenza. If you haven't had your flu shot, go get that too, because it's not necessarily for you, but it's for those who are immunocompromised. And yet they can stand firm and say that God is good. Build our foundations on him. And only on him. Not on anybody else. Not on anything else. Because this world has nothing to offer. Nothing. Like the grace and the love of a God who created us in his own image, in his own likeness, to be his image bearers to the world. To be living in the kingdom that his son ushered in through his life here. And the grace that comes from his death and his resurrection. I don't know about you, but the wise and foolish builders is a Sunday school story that I probably one of the first ones that I ever remember. But it teaches us just as much today as it does to a 5-year-old child. Jesus is our foundation. I'm going to ask the band to come forward and we're going to, I threw it on them, but we're going to finish with, on Christ the solid rock I stand. No other ground is sinking sand. Because that is our truth this morning. And if you haven't put your foundations in Christ, today's the day. Talk to somebody. Come running to somebody. The altars are open. Don't leave this place without an opportunity to pray together. To realign if your alignment has gotten off and you begin to build on sand and other things that just seem good, but you know are not. Put your foundations in Christ today and allow him to give you strength. Father, as we just come to sing, come to glorify you, come to sing your truth that in your name, God, that your son is our firm foundation. I pray for each and every one of us here, God, that today will be the day that we mark it on our calendars, that today is the day that our foundation begins in you and you alone. Give us the strength. We pray for Evelyn this morning, God, in that hospital. We pray for healing in her body. God, you know, and in your will, you know what you're doing. God, I pray for strength for Heather and for Mike. For continued peace and stability that comes from you, their rock. I pray for Harper and the unknowns of watching her sister go through this. But God, no matter your will, may we boldly proclaim that you are God. And that when our foundation is in you, nothing can shake us. Nothing can stir us. Nothing can bring us down. Because you are the God who loves us and who have got us for eternity in your hands. We are yours, Father. Let's stand together.